Well, good evening again. Seems like we've done this a few times. Amen. We kind of do this every Wednesday. Amen. All right, y'all ready for some jokes? I know someone's not. I'm not going to mention any names. Mrs. Bingham. Okay. I tried some dad jokes this time. We'll see what happens. All righty, so let me get situated here. Okay, here we go. One-liners, dad jokes, here we go. Says, I used to be addicted to soap, but I'm clean now. Yes, I got one. Amen. So, all right, here goes the next one. I'm not even sure I get this one. So, do you think swimming with sharks is expensive? Exactly. I have no idea either. I just figured I'd throw it out there. I was hoping y'all would tell me, really. All right. It says, when two vegans get in an argument, it is it still called a beef? I'm getting a little after that. All right. We're doing good. All right. Here we go. All right. Say, do you want a box for your leftovers? Box. All right. So what do a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common? They're both Paris sites. All right. I need to start using these one-liners now. All right. If April showers brings Mayflowers, what do Mayflowers bring? Oh, yeah, I got that one. All right. Okay. Yeah, pilgrims, you're right. All right. Next one. Where do you learn to make a banana split? Sunday school. S-U-N-D-A-E. Sunday. Ah, yeah. Yeah. We're waking y'all up now. All right. One, two more. What has more letters in the alphabet? What has more letters in the alphabet? The post office. All right, this is going to show your age right here. I got a card. I got carded at a drugstore, and my Blockbuster card accidentally fell out. The cashier said, never mind. You know, showing our age. Who doesn't know what Blockbuster is? Yeah, everybody does. Okay, amen. Well, amen, here we go. So today we're going to talk a little bit about soul winning. Soul winning. And we're talking, we all need to be going soul winning, I believe. And it should be part of our routine on Saturdays, part of our routine on a daily basis, giving tracts. It should just be a part of our lives. Not because of anything else, but it's a commandment. It is a commandment to go soul winning, okay? So we should be part of that. So I'm going to read this. On January 1st, 2010, a law was went into effect in Texas that required Department of Public Safety clerks to ask all driver license applicants if they wish to become an organ donor. The result of the new law more than doubled the number of registered organ donors. Just think about it. Think of what could happen if Christians would ask every person they come in contact with if they want to trust Christ as their personal Savior. That kind of hits right at the below the bell, doesn't it? That's a big one. I read there's definitions of soul winning and soul winner. They're not in the English language. They're not a part of an English. They're not really words. We use them in our lives. Soul winning, the definition is the art, the endeavor of sharing the gospel with sinners and leading them to put their faith in Jesus Christ. It's a metaphor for evangelism or witnessing. A soul winner, a person whose purpose, desire, and motivation is to share the gospel with sinners and lead them to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, these are not words that are in the English dictionary. They're just words that were made up from Christians. So what is soul winning? It's a big part of our lives, isn't it? It should be a big, big part of our lives. I have to say that because that's how I got saved. Someone knocked on my door. It works. So I'm going to say it works. So before I start, we're going to go ahead and pray and get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We thank you, Lord. Just thank you for the day that you've allowed us to have, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to be back here, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you use me in a mighty way, Lord. Move me out of the way, Lord, and let your word come out clearly and concise, Lord, for you, Lord. Pray that we talk about soul winning, Lord. You burden our hearts, Lord, to tell others about you, Lord. It's not really a preaching message, more just of a teaching and talking message, Lord. I just pray that you use it in a mighty way, in Jesus' name, amen. As I said, we go on soul winning on Saturday mornings. That's a time we set to go soul winning, 10 o'clock. If you're not there, come join us. We could use all the help we can get. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us we should go, we might go, commands us to go. That is what we're supposed to do, is go soul winning. It doesn't matter if we have, you know, some incapabilities, is that a word? If not, I just made it up. Incapabilities to go. I mean, we may not be able to, I limp. Brother Jeremy kind of, you walk slow, so I'm not hurting all the time. But, you know, we go out. It's just part of it. You know, just do it. Your feet hurt. You're cold when it's cold out there. I remember walking in the streets when it's cold. Your gloves, and my pastor, Pastor Chadwick at the time, we were walking out like when it's cold. It hurt, you know, and you got that wind hitting your face. But I think about it, I do the same thing for work. I still go to work, don't I? Same scenario. So we should take that opportunity on a Saturday morning, no matter what, to go soul winning. It's not an option. And that's the one thing I want to understand. It's not an option. We go to soul winning to tell others about how to get saved the Bible way. Confession, repentance, and believing. That's what we do. That's what we tell. Nothing more. And it's not us that's saving anybody. We're just telling them. That's all we're doing. We're just the messenger. You know, we might get a little hurt because they close this door on us or whatever the case is. It's not about us, folks. It's not about us, okay? God wants there to be, let me start that one again. God wanted there to be light. He wanted there to be man. He wanted there to be all of these things that he gives us. He gave it to us. Now, did he? The one thing he can't give us is us being obedient. And that obedience is following Christ, getting saved. If we don't have that obedience ourselves, you know, we have that issue. It's not God's issue. It's our issue. God wants us to have that free will to choose him. If it didn't cost God, it didn't cost God anything to make the earth, but it cost him the blood of Jesus Christ for the souls to be saved. That's a cost. You know, we may buy a car and it costs us something, but it's just a car. You know, it's just a car. We go soul winning. We're telling folks about what Christ did for us. That's a cost. Think about the cost. There's always a cost to everything. It doesn't matter what it is. You go grocery store. You go on a trip. You go on vacation. You know, whatever it is, there's always a cost. But that's your cost. That's not Christ's cost. The biggest cost or price that ever was paid for was Jesus Christ's blood. But think, Charles Spurgeon said about lost souls, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go, they are unwarned and prayed for. Whatever it takes, in other words, whatever it takes, tell them, compel them to come in, compel them for Christ, compel them. Doesn't matter what it is, how to do it. You just have to tell them. You can't win them. But someone told you and someone told me, like I told you, my pastor in Amarillo at the time, he came knocking on my door. Lost as a goose and loose. I knew I was going to hell even before he came to that door. I knew it. There was no question with my lifestyle. There was no way I was not going to hell. But I didn't really know if there was a hell. I didn't know if there was a purgatory, honestly, then. But I will tell you, there was no purgatory for me. I was going to hell. There's no question about it in my mind. So when he came knocking on my door, it was as simple as that. I knew what he was telling me was Bible, because he's looking right at it. He was showing me the Bible, and that's what we need to do. He was telling me what Christ did for me, and then I accepted Christ as my Savior that day. Someone told you and someone told me. It could have been your parents. It could have been your pastor at the time. It could have been your youth pastor. Could have been a friend. Could have been a relative. Another church winner. But each one of those is a soul winner. Whether you call them a soul winner, you call them evangelist, whatever evangelism, whatever it is. But if you're a soul winner knocking doors, you're a stranger. Think about that. You're just someone knocking on a door, have no idea who's on the other side of the door, and you're just doing what God has asked you to do, tell others about Christ. And then, in my example, I got saved, and I thank God for that. But when you after that stranger, and if that individual gets saved, you become a friend. That's what it's all about. It's just helping one another. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the other part of the earth." He tells us that we should go no matter where it is. It doesn't matter where where you're at. We're here in I was about to say Lawton, Oklahoma. I don't know why I got Lawton, Oklahoma in my mind. But here in Moore, Oklahoma, amen, yeah. Except for the Oklahoma part. I'm just kidding. No, but we're here in Moore, Oklahoma. We got folks all around this city. We can tell. There's so many of us that were like me years ago that just wanted to know what Christ had for me and what God had for me. I just wanted to know. I had a desire prior to that day, and God had been working in my heart. But it just took that one time for him to say, "Yes, you need me." And I think God was someone was willing to go. Ezekiel 3:15. Let's go ahead and go there real quick. Ezekiel 3:15. Again, God doesn't command us to win him. He just tells us to warn him. Ezekiel 3:15. So then it came to them of the captivity of Telabib that dwelt by the river of Shibar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. He's telling us to warn him. It's all it is. He's just telling us to tell others about Christ. Tell them about Christ. He's telling us to warn them. You're not going to make them. You're not going to make them get saved. You do not win souls. You tell them about Christ, and then they choose to accept him or not. That's what we do. And it's not a personal thing. Let's read on to verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. If you have warned him, you've done your part. That is your part, just to warn him. You don't have to do anything else but warn him. And if you warn him, the blood is not on you. If you don't warn him, the blood is on you. Think about that. We were probably have more blood on our hands than not on our hands, honestly, because we do not tell everybody, because we can come in contact with so many people in this world. You know, go to the grocery store, you know, people walking all over the place. Go to go to OnCue, go to the drive-up, give the track. That's probably one of the most places I go is I give a track. And I hate to say it, but I get free drinks now because I've done that, so just I'm going to keep giving it to them, so... I got a free drink the other day. I was like, praise the Lord. But you're just, they're there to tell them. Give that gospel track. And if you feel the Lord leading you to tell them, talk to them, explain the Bible, John 3:16 and in the Roman road, tell them. That's just where we stop, and that's where we fail the most. The Lord is leading us to tell them about Christ, and we walk away. That's where the blood is on our hands. And that's where we need to get back. We need to get to is just say, just listen to what the Bible says or what the Holy Spirit is talking to us. Ezekiel 15:20 now says, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. Still got to tell him. He shall die in his sin, not in your sin, because you've told him. And his righteousness should be which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn, the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. So what's our job? Tell him. Who's invited someone to go soul winning lately? Yeah. I mean, I had Jeremy to go with me a while back, and he's like, yeah, I think I've been thinking about that. And then he showed up. God's grace. It wasn't me. God had been working on him. The Holy Spirit had been working on him. I just happened to be the one that asked him. You know, who can we ask? Who in this church can we ask? Say, let's go. I need a partner. Let's go. We need to compel each other. If we're not doing it, who will? How many people have in this world, let me put it this way, how many people in Moore, Oklahoma go soul winning? 60 in this church? And how many people in Moore? Who knows? Maybe I should have looked up the actual number. But there's not a lot of people going soul winning. And if we're not inviting each other to go, to get more people to go, because I think if we invite one person and have one visitor every week, we could fill this church up quickly. We want to grow, don't we? Isn't that the goal, is to grow? That more people are saved and going to heaven with us? That's the goal. So we should be pushing each other to go out soul winning. It's our friends, yes, it's our family, but at the end of the day, it's still about someone's soul. Someone told me, someone told y'all, so let's tell others. So why go soul winning? Soul winning, who do we tell about Christ and his salvation? Who do you tell? Who do I tell? Is there anybody specific? You know, I know one thing, they used to say, yeah, we need to go to this area because it's less fortunate. House is a little falling apart. We kind of pick and choose who we want to go and where we want to go. You know, the people on the other side of the railroad tracks need Christ too. I mean, they may have the money or not, but at the end of the day, they need Christ. You know, they're probably living off of their money and thinking that's what their salvation is, but they need Christ too. The folks underneath the overpass, folks asking for money on the corner, they all need Christ. Who do you tell? How about your cousins? You know, you get your cousins, you get a lot of family. I mean, I'm Mexican. I got lots of cousins. I'm telling you, I got cousins I didn't even know about. And I saw a few this past weekend. You know, they haven't seen in years. I'm talking like 50 years. Maybe I saw them. I don't remember. But I'm 53, so maybe. Okay, 40 years. Let's go 40 years. But we all have those people that we know that aren't saved. I went to the funeral this past Saturday, and it was a Catholic funeral. Woo, that was sad. Yeah, whole family filled of you know, most of them Catholics that are dying and going to hell. Yeah, that's a burden. That is a field in itself. My family is a field in itself. It was a sobering thing to hear when I heard the priest say, pray for Jimmy that the Lord will receive him. Think about that. That is a priest saying has no hope. I don't even know why he's up there. There is no hope in what he's saying. Why in the world would you say pray for Jimmy? I mean, think about that. It's too late. But it's not too late for the people that are here. The people here in Moore, Oklahoma. The people that you have in your homes. The people that you have in your families. The people you have in your neighborhood. The people that go to the same grocery store, the same stores, the same on-cues. There's many there that need to be saved. Many. That's your field. That's my field. So why don't we tell them? Scared? I mean, we come up with excuses all the time, don't we? Scared? You're afraid of being rejected? Yep. Yeah, that's what Christ was. He was rejected all the time. That's just, you're just being Christ-like. You're going to be rejected. I mean, that's just part of it. We're just going to be part of that rejection. We should not allow our fear to not tell somebody about Christ. We should not. I mean, that's, you know, I think about going off the war, and there wasn't much fear there. I hate to say it. I don't know if it sounds stupid, but I was not afraid to die. And I think I've said that before. I was more afraid of my family, leaving my family back here. But I will tell you, sometimes it's more fearful because of ourselves, our inability to want to tell someone, talk to them about Christ. We fear that. Knocking on that door, tell them who Christ is. But he's with us. And that's the thing we should understand. No matter what, where we go, God's going to be with us. Allow him to fill your Holy Spirit and just use you as a vessel. There shouldn't be any fear. We should get away from that. I mean, I'm chief among the fears when it comes down to that. So, because you think about you being not eloquent or not being able to speak well or, you know, have the gift of gab, that doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit's talking to you, and then the Holy Spirit's talking to him. Somehow it's going to come out. It just is. I mean, if that's what God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. You know, he just has to accept it. Or she. Let me be politically correct. I'm just kidding. Again, if every member of Moore Baptist Church went soul winning in any capacity, such as just giving out tracts, talking to their neighbors, inviting them to church, or actually knocking on doors and asking them that simple question, if you were to die today, are you 100%, 75, 50, or 25% sure? How many people could we have coming to church? How many people could we have added unto God's family? But do we? We don't do it enough. I think I've passed my notes a little bit, so. So why do we tell people about Christ? God commands us. He literally has commands us to go out to the hedges and highways. John 14:21 says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself in him. Verse 31 of John 14, but that the world may know that I love the Father. You're doing it because you love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. We do it because we love the Father. We do it because we love our brethren. If you have love in the Father, you're going to have love for your brethren. Folks that you don't know, folks that you've never met, you're going to have love for them, and you're going to want to tell them about Christ. And that's really, if you allow yourself to love like that. Sorry, I got my... Okay, here we go. We should be telling as many people as possible. We don't get to choose who we tell about Christ. We're just commanded to tell as many as we can. We should be looking for someone to tell. We should be looking for someone to tell. I'm telling you, that funeral really, it punched me in the gut. It really did. It was sad. Even folks that I think that thought were maybe Christians were still doing the ritual Catholicism stuff. I was floored by that alone. I have a cousin, which is more like an uncle, that is, I don't even know if you call him a priest. He was married, and then eventually ordained him, I think is what it is. So he's a priest. But married. I don't know how that all works. I really don't. I'm not trying to be funny with it, but I don't know how that works. So he's got a whole family that follows him. He's got grandkids that follow him. Just all of that is just by one man. So we as one men and women have that hold on everybody, or try to have that hold, just tell them about Christ. You have your own following, because you're supposed to be replicating yourself through Christ.
You get saved, you're supposed to tell others about Christ so they can be like you. Bring them in so they can go soul winning. Bring them in so they can be ushered. Bring them in to be part of this church. We're just supposed to be duplicating ourselves over and over and over again. And if you never go soul winning, if you never tell anybody, you can't do that. You're not fulfilling that commandment. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Acts 22:14 says, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men that of what thou hast seen and heard, be it witness for what Christ has done for you." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." All those verses say one thing. Tell us about Christ. There is a Christ that we need to follow. 2 Peter 3:19 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some may count slackness, but in longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." God wants everyone to be saved. Not just here in Moore, Oklahoma, not just in Oklahoma City, Norman. He wants everybody to be saved. You go on missions trips, and I'm grateful I got to go on that missions trip. It really opened my eyes, and I hope you get to go. We have to do it everywhere, but we got to start here. The more folks we get in here, the more folks we can send out there. The more folks we have here, the more folks we grow and to be able to go out here and tell people about Christ. And the more we can just keep building and keep building and keep growing. I have a desire for this church to grow big time. I don't want us to be a mega church, but I want us to be able to have more classes, more Sunday school teachers, and I want it to be very diverse. I really do. I was in a camp years ago, and there was a church that came in. There was like a whole body of everybody. It had Hispanics, it had Asian, it had blacks, it had whites. I was like, that's what I'd like to have. Because God loves each and every one of us. He doesn't love the short Hispanic man right here more than he loves y'all. I promise you. You know? He doesn't. He loves us all. He loves us, each and every one of us. And that's why we should be telling others about Christ. Sowing is, it is huge. Like I said, it was, you know, that's how I got saved. And that's why it's a little personal to me. Again, one of the main reasons people don't go out is because they have fear. Fear of rejection. Remember, God is the only one that was rejected. You are not, we were just a vessel being used to tell others about Christ. It's not a personal thing. The God that made us are the same gods that reject us. We need to get over our rejection, and it's going to happen. It's just part of it. And just keep going for Christ. I'm going to read this quote from Jack Hiles about sowing. And it says, "Sowing is not a method, it is a command. We are supposed to go soul winning and do soul winning if our churches grow or if our churches decrease in attendance. Soul winning is a command, John. So soul winning is a command. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So how serious is the Lord about soul winning, telling others about Christ? Pretty serious, isn't it? I think we need to do the same thing. D.L. Moody, everybody's heard D.L. Moody, right? He told the story of his conversion this way. He says, "When I was in Boston, I used to attend a Sunday school class. One day I recollect my teacher came around behind the counter of the shop I was at work in and put his hand upon my shoulder and talked to me about Christ and my soul. I had not felt that I had a soul till then." He didn't even realize it. That's kind of how I was. I mean, I just thought it was just a man. When I read that, I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful that you don't even think you have a soul, so you just don't know. So as I said to myself, this is a very strange thing. Here's a man who never saw me till lately, and he is weeping over my sins, and I never shed a tear about them. But I understand it now and know that it is to have a passion for men's souls and weep over their sins. I don't remember what he said, but I can still feel the power of that man's hand on my shoulder tonight. The concern we should have and the tears we should have
of a godly teacher and soul winner resulted in the conversion of a man who saw a million souls saved in his evangelistic campaigns. That's the power of Christ. And if we have the power, we have that same power to tell folks about Christ. And then God has, and then they have the power to use it. And then they, if we tell others about Christ and they get saved, they've got that same power. We've got the same power, we're just not using it. It's like driving a Camaro, you know, with a big old, I don't even know, good size motor, 450 motor in that bad boy, and you're just moving along it, but you only go 25. What's the point in having a 450? God's given you so much power with him, and we're not using it because we fear, we choose not to, and for whatever reason. Let's do our part, go out soul winning. Join us in the blessing that God will have us to, just to be obedient to him. More important, joy, the important, the joy that you are following God's commandment of reaching the lost. Let us pray.